Welcome to the Connected Table Sips on iHeartRadio. We are your insatiably curious culinary couple, Melanie Young and David Ransom. We bring you the dynamic people who work front and center and behind the scenes in food, wine, spirits, and hospitality. Ours is a delicious life, and we want to share it with you. Winemaking in Virginia can be traced to the earliest settlers. In fact, Thomas Jefferson even tried his hand at making wine in Virginia. The current version of Virginia's wine industry really took root in the 1970s. Today, Virginia is home to 10 regions, 8 distinct AVAs, and more than 300 wineries. It's an ideal wine destination for road trippers. In fact, David and I have had the pleasure of visiting several Virginia wineries during our own road trip. The beauty of this region and the sense of place you taste in your glass is one of the reasons we recommend adding Virginia wines to your cellar and to your travel itinerary. We're with Frank Morgan, a Virginia wine advocate like us. Frank writes about Virginia wines for several state and national media outlets, and he's author of DrinkWhatYouLike.com, a terrific wine blog started 10 years ago to share stories of the wines, wineries, and wine growers of Virginia. He also hosts a monthly Virginia Wine Chat that you can hop on and listen to. So we're going to have a lively conversation with Frank. It's great. So, Frank, let's talk about Virginia's location and climate for cultivating grapes first. We've heard, you know, it's a tricky climate for some. It's eastern. What grows here well and why? And let's talk about some of the star grapes of the region as well.
Sure. So, Virginia, it's important to remember that Virginia is a very diverse state geographically and geologically. There are five major physiographic regions that range from zero feet in elevation up to 5,700 feet in elevation. So it, let's say it climbs from the coastal plain of the Virginia's eastern shore to up through the Blue Ridge to the Appalachian Plateau. And within each of these distinct geological regions, there's a lot of soils. There's granite, of course, sandy loam, sedimentary metamorphic rocks. From Chatham Vineyards, which is Virginia's easternmost vineyard, over to Mountain Rose Vineyards, which is in Wise County, one of the westernmost vineyards, there's 475 miles that separate them. So, there, you know, Virginia is a very diverse state, but one thing is consistent: heat, humidity, and precipitation during harvest.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be tricky. It really takes a lot of talented winemakers to navigate that. There are a lot of grapes that David and I have traced in wines, but there are a few standouts that really make Virginia shine. Let's talk about those.
Sure. So there are. Right now in Virginia is a wine region. There are about 312 wineries. There are nearly 4,000 acres of grapevines cultivated for wine. And spread out across the state, there are about 70 different grape varieties that are cultivated for wine in Virginia. Now, of course, some of those are just a few rows here and there, but still there's, you know, there's a huge experiment amongst wine growers in Virginia, just trying to determine what works not only in Virginia as a whole, but at our specific site. But as a whole, Virginia, what's really showing a lot of potential is Petit Mansang. And this is a grape that is native to southwestern France, to the Jurançon region of France. It is a small-berried, thick-skinned, loose-cluster grape that is showing a lot of promise because it is a little more resistant to, you know, mildew and rots and things that can come from precipitation. And, of course, air can get into the clusters to dry those out. So across the state, I would say Petit Mansang is showing a lot of promise, not only because it is, you know, resistant to a lot of the climate challenges here, but also because it's so versatile. You know, in the Jurançon region of France, it's primarily made, blended and made for a dessert wine. Of course, here in Virginia, there are some beautiful Petit Mansang dessert wines. But here, unlike many other regions in the world, you can get a dry Petit Mansang, and they are super delicious and drinkable. And that's what I think could be a grape that helps set Virginia apart. I'm not saying that's a signature grape or the state grape. It's too early for that. But it's a grape that is something unique to Virginia. Also, Petit Verdot, another small berry, thick skin. That's, of course, a red grape. Tannat is showing really well here. Albarino now is showing some promise or some fantastic Albarino wines. Cabernet Franc, in my opinion, if we were pressed to name a Virginia grape or a grape to think about Virginia, it is Cabernet Franc because it is so expressive and can really express sight really well. But also, this may not be an exciting grape, but Chardonnay. I think Chardonnay, you can tell a lot about a winery. You can tell a lot about a winemaker by drinking that winery's Chardonnay. And I love the Chardonnays throughout Virginia.
You know, we've tasted some really good ones, and we're going to be discussing one. What about Viognier? We've had a few good Viogniers in the area. And also, we've had a few, in smaller amounts, Roccazatelles.
A word about Viognier. When they are done right, in my opinion, you have to pick them perfectly where you've got still some acidity. I love it. It's so aromatic, and it's a great gateway wine to introduce our friends to Virginia.
An interesting point, Frank, and that really talks to the adaptability of the Virginia wine climate as well. Even though it is a little bit fickle climate, if you do it right, you can grow grapes very well there and make really fantastic wines. For those unfamiliar with Virginia wines who may be more familiar with, say, California or Bordeaux wines, how would you put these wines into context for them?
Good question. The way I try to describe Virginia is that it is a bridge between California and the old world. As I mentioned earlier, it's so diverse geologically and geographically that vintage variation is a very real thing in Virginia. Whereas, let's say, in other New World regions on the West Coast, California, maybe for vintage variation is not as distinctive there as it is here. Of course, in Europe, it certainly is. So I like to think of Virginia just as a bridge between new and old world.
That's such a great way to describe it. And I think we both agree Virginia wines are Virginia wines. They are their own distinct personality. And there are a lot of vintage variations because it is a prickly climate there with extremes like Europe. Very similar, as you said. So let's talk about the 8 AVAs. Tell us where they are and let's discuss a little bit about each.
The easternmost AVA is the Eastern Shore AVA, and there you'll find a couple of vineyards, but only one winery, and that's Chatham Vineyards. It's in the town of Machapongo, right on the banks of Church Creek, which feeds off the Nassauwattocks and into the Chesapeake Bay. A very important AVA because they have a very distinctive mesoclimate. They have very distinctive soils. But when you go further inland, of course, and north, you've got the Middleburg AVA and the Monticello AVA, of course, and go further west, you have the Shenandoah Valley AVA. Then you have an AVA that is an Appalachian AVA that's shared with Tennessee and in North Carolina. It's a very large one. But the more important ones in Virginia are, of course, the Monticello, where just over 30 wineries are focused. And then you have the Middleburg AVA and the Shenandoah Valley AVA. But beyond the AVAs, if I may, I would like to just say along the edges of Virginia, let's say in southern Virginia, you have Rosemont that is not in an AVA. They don't have a lot of wineries nearby them, but they are very important because they're proving that in southern Virginia, there is a viticulture story to be told. And then, of course, you go up to Front Royal where you have Glen Manor and Jeff White farming a historic family farm there. Again, not in an AVA, but equally important. And then, of course, Jim Law is farming land since the early 80s in Linden, which is technically in Fauquier County. Again, not within an AVA, but an equally important viticulture story to share.
Well, maybe a good time to share it, right?
Yes, it would be a good time to share. We actually visited Jim last fall while we were traveling through Virginia and spent a lovely afternoon with him. And it's as if he's written a textbook on Virginia wines and the possibilities of what Virginia wine can become.
So we have his Linden Hardscrabble Chardonnay 2017, one of the three wines we're discussing, Frank. And this is from a very specific vineyard that kind of wraps around the winery. Let's talk about it.
This is Jim Law's opus. And I think, to me, Linden Hardscrabble Chardonnay is one of the finest American Chardonnays there is, and certainly one of the finest East Coast and Virginia Chardonnays because it's so elegant, it's so expressive. And if tasted blind, once you understand, you know, where Hardscrabble is, what it is, you taste the wines long enough, you can actually pick out the minerality when you taste the blind, let's say across four or five wines or Chardonnays, you can kind of pick out that Hardscrabble signature, which is a little mineral. There's some melon, some peach or pear in there. really delicious. And I think that in order to understand the potential of Virginia, one has to drink this wine, because Jim Law is one of the, you know, founding, one of the cornerstones of Virginia viticulture.
It's a beautiful wine. This is a vintage 2017. And we agree, this is a standard bearer for Virginia wines. You entertain a lot, Frank. How would you pair this wine?
So I would generally pair this with some type of roast chicken. I love it with roast chicken, but also with crab cakes.
Perfect.
So the next wine we have is the Bluestone Vineyards Petit Manseng 2019, which is from the Shenandoah Valley AVA. Let's talk about that.
So Bluestone Vineyards is a vineyard there. As you said, it's in the Shenandoah Valley. There are 23 wineries. It was established in 1982. It's the oldest AVA here in Virginia. Petit Manseng, I selected this wine because it highlights the potential of Virginia, but it also highlights the potential for the Shenandoah Valley region. Also, Lee Hartman at Bluestone Vineyards doesn't get as much recognition as they deserve, but this is one of those wines. It was in the 2021 Virginia Governor's case this year, meaning it's one of the top 12 scoring wines out of 544 wines entered. Expressive, aromatic, racy, just delicious.
And it's got that great acidity that Petit Manseng comes with, and which I just adore in a wine. How would you pair this, Frank?
I would pair this with a salad. I appreciate Petit Manseng with salads, especially if you have, you know, if you throw in some pear, some lighter cheeses. I really like Petit Manseng paired as an early course.
I agree with you. To me, this wine just kind of evolves on your mouth. I get a little bit of grilled pineapple, a little bit of honeysuckle. And then, as David said, that racy acidity. Really good first course wine. Now we're going to go to a red, which is really one of the standard bearers in Virginia, Octagon. Let's talk about this gorgeous wine.
Barboursville Vineyards, 2016 Octagon, also one of the top 12 scoring wines in this year's Virginia Governor's Cup competition. So it's part of the Virginia Governor's case. Barboursville was founded in 1976 when Italian wine scion Gianni Zonin came to Virginia, visited the Barboursville area, which is about 30 minutes northwest of Charlottesville. And so he purchased at that time in 1976 an 870-acre antebellum property. It's a very historic property because there's the ruins of a home of Governor James Barbour, who was Virginia's, I think he was the 17th governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. He was a contemporary of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson actually designed his home, and sadly it burned down in the early 1800s, but the ruins of that home still stand on the property. And that's where, of course, the name Octagon comes from. But Barboursville being one of the founding wineries of Virginia, in fact, today I believe it is the oldest operating winery in Virginia. It was the fifth winery at the time. But this is a very important wine because it showcases or demonstrates the potential of Virginia wine. Certainly, if you were to poll serious wine professionals and ask them, you know, what's Virginia's flagship wine, most of them would probably say Octagon. And that's very important to Virginia because it's only made in vintages where it's deserving of the name Octagon.
And the blend of this wine, it's Merlot, Cab Franc, Petit Verdot. And what would you recommend pairing with this? I mean, there's so many options.
What really sings with this wine, in my opinion, is lamb. Lamb on a charcoal grill and Octagon well decanted is just a beautiful, magical pairing.
So, Frank, let's talk about where our listeners can learn more about Virginia wines and also the Governor's Cup accolades.
So the Virginia Governor's Wine Competition every year, they will award, you know, however many gold medals, silver medals, bronze medals, and of course, no medals. But this year, the wine board partnered with the Virginia Winers Association, and they developed a gold medal wine trail mobile app. And it provides a digital guide through Virginia Wine Country to taste and learn about all of the gold medal wines in this year's competition. You can go to virginiawine.org to download that. Also, virginiawine.org provides a wealth of information about the Virginia wine industry itself. And of course, there's also the Virginia Wine in My Pocket app that provides information about Virginia's wines, winemakers, and wineries.
And for another podcast, we'll talk about all the meaderies and cideries in that app as well. I mean, there's just a wealth of wonderful drinking and imbibing in Virginia. And we really have enjoyed talking about it with you. And of course, we'll just mention that Frank writes Drink What You Like, a wine blog that shares his passion and expertise on Virginia wine. So we really enjoyed speaking with you today.
Likewise. Thank you for having me. I very much appreciate the opportunity to talk about a wine subject that I'm very passionate about.
As are we. Here's to Virginia wines.
You've been listening to The Connected Table Sips with Melanie Young and David Ransom. To listen to more in-depth features with the movers and shakers who shape the wine, food, spirits, and hospitality industry, tune into our companion show, The Connected Table Live. You can tune into the live broadcast on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on W4CY Radio. Easy to find at www.w4cy.com. Or listen to all our shows anytime at iHeart.com and on the iHeart app. Connect with us on Twitter at Connected Table and follow us on Facebook and Instagram under The Connected Table. And remember, always stay insatiably curious.